perpetrator of the mass killing in Norway, Anders Breivik, has been found sane and given the maximum possible sentence in a Norwegian court. Now that the court has found Breivik to be sane, some commentators argue that Norway and the world must make more efforts to confront the far right and racist ideologies that motivated him. But for the moment, many Norwegians are simply relieved that the trial is over and feel that they can now begin to get on with their lives. Tim Roxburgh reports.
I think mainly a relief for a lot of people because it's finally over. And I think also because most of the parties have said they're not going to appeal.
Britt Helen Jacobsen is a freelance journalist based in Norway. She says that many people in the country are pleased that the trial is over and feel that they can now begin to move on.
So I think people feel they can finally put it behind them, and there's been surprisingly little coverage in the past few days. Of course, there were a lot on Friday and Saturday, but I think people just feel that we can finally forget about it and move on.
Some observers who've been strongly arguing that Breivik was sane are pleased that the court has reached the same conclusion. Tad Tietze is a Sydney psychiatrist who also co-runs the blog Left Flank.
I think the verdict is the best possible verdict to come out of the Norwegian legal process, really. Since a few weeks after the massacre in July last year, I became greatly concerned at how much people were trying to box this into this idea that Breivik was a lone individual nutcase, truly mentally disturbed and so on. And that ended up being one of the major things that the whole trial hung on.
Why is it that do you think that there were so many people keen to paint him as seriously mentally disturbed? I mean, on some level, it's understandable because these acts were so incomprehensible to most people.
I think the clearest group that wanted him painted mad was the group of right-wing, Islamophobic, racist, ultra-nationalist thinkers who whose ideas he drew directly on and was inspired by, and who continue to push those kinds of ideas right now. So people who pushed similar ideas of a civilizational threat from Islam and Islamism, the fact that the idea that we need to defend our culture and so on, because their ideas were so uncomfortably close to what he said were his ideas, they had to find a point of distinction.
But as dangerous as Breivik's ideology was, he may still be able to spread it from his prison cell, as long as he isn't directly advocating violence. Britt Helen Jacobsen.
People haven't been too happy about the fact that he has access to a computer, even if that is a computer with no internet or anything like that. So I think the most recent thing in that case is that the police, just as soon as the judgment is sort of settled and there's no room for appeal, the police will pull back the computer they've given him now, and then it will be up to the jail whether they're going to give him a new one to type on. And with the correspondence, I'm not too sure, but I think there has been some, every now and then you hear about letters being sent to or from him, but there's police, I think, have said they check all his mail.
Tad Tietze says that in troubling economic times, it's important to confront the ideas that Breivik pushed and understand the ways in which those ideas can gain popularity.
I think Breivik fits really the mould of fascism when you look at his ideology. It's very similar to past fascist ideologies in various countries. And the thing is that fascism can arise in any advanced sort of industrial capitalist nation. It is one possible reaction to the problems of society. It's one that I'm completely against and I think needs to be exposed and fought. But the idea that fascism is somehow other to our society, I think, is a dangerous idea because it then distracts us from looking at how is it that our society can produce, not just fascist individuals like Breivik, but parties like Golden Dawn in Greece, an openly neo-Nazi organisation that looks back to the legacy of Hitler proudly, whose thugs beat up people in the street, and they've won 7% of the vote in two consecutive elections. So they're not an other, they're clearly part of Greek society, and we have to think about why is it that our society produces this, what can we do about it?
Sydney psychiatrist and political commentator Tad Tietze finishing that report by Tim Roxburgh.